You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to the second half of November, obviously, and a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. Welcome to my house, broadcasting live from the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio. Here in beautiful Southern California. I was going to spend the night last night in Yuma, but we got done earlier than I thought we would. So, hopped in the car, drove home. You can't see it at night, but I like to drive between where I live and Yuma. Pretty dry. Drive to the mountains east of San Diego, which are pretty, and then down into the desert, which is none. So, anyway, good morning on a Tuesday morning. My voice a little bit different. Now, I did post-traumatic weaning 4 times yesterday. Never done that. So, probably 10 hours worth. Yeah. But, you know what? If you listen to the program, it is the easiest job in the world to get motivated for because of the impact it has. So, obviously a labor of love. All Marine Radio is so, and in particular, post-traumatic winning is. So, anyway, just a great time over in Yuma, and I gotta thank Captain Kelsey Casey, call sign Pug. She's a Harrier pilot over there, and she was tasked with organizing that part of the safety standout. And so she was great. 4 different elements of 4 different squadrons showed up yesterday and to watch it. And, one of the things that never, ever, ever gets old is, Marines, when they struggle and all of a sudden somebody's speaking their language. And so in a way that nobody's spoken to them before. So, it's what I love most about post-traumatic winning is the conversations that you have with people that all of a sudden somebody's speaking to me. And there's one Marine, he's a corporal. And different people catch your eye for different reasons while I'm doing this, right? And so he's paying attention intently. And when things are being shown, he's moving in his seat so he can see the screen better. And so he caught my eye. So at the end of it, I watched where he went because his unit, they were having like a meeting outside or something like that. So I followed him. And the warrant officer who was in charge of him looked at me and he said, "What's up, Mac?" I said, I'm looking for a Marine. And they all kind of look at me. I said, that Marine right there, that corporal. And he says, like, me? I said, yeah, before you leave, come see me. And he just looks at me and goes, all right. And after the meeting, he comes walking over, and we shake hands, and I said, why were you paying attention so closely? And he looked at me and goes, because I've lived this, and I want to help other people in my family. And so we talked, and no, you know, just inspiring, you know, people. You know, inspiring people with inspiring stories, and you have a chance to help them. So, so it was a great day yesterday, and as always, I mean, I can't do it enough. So so it was awesome. The I'll tell you what we're gonna do today. Mike Etor is going to join us. And, I thought I'd be driving back, so we recorded this on Sunday night. But Mike's written a book. And, about leadership. And it is, it's going to, dare I say, it will become the Bible of leadership in the Marine Corps. Because it consolidates a lot of things that we've heard, and then, but nobody's ever written it down. And nobody's ever written it down in one book. So, so it's amazing. You look at this book, and it's not a short book either. It's a big book. I want to say it's almost 600 pages. Yeah, 600 pages of all the stuff that we've learned in Marine Corps leadership. How crazy is that? And so Mike's going to join us, and we're going to talk about his book for about an hour and a half. But the book is he sent it to me, right? And I'd been doing everything I did last week, which is where I can't remember where I went. I went to Las Vegas, and I did something else. Anyway, Mike's book is called Trust-Based Leadership, Marine Corps Leadership Concepts for Today's Business Leaders. You can find it on Amazon. But anyway, so I get home and there's a box on my front step. So I go grab it and it's not a light box, right? And, so I open it and I see Mike's picture and I see like there's more than one. So I thought it was probably like he sent me about six books, you know, to give to people. And, what he had done. First of all, I was surprised the book is as big as it is. And I picked it up and I'm like, whoa, Etor, nice. And and it's got his picture on. But he sent me three of them, one for John and Patrick each. And which is very, very, very thoughtful of him. Very thoughtful of him. And which is the way Mike Etor is, just so you know. He's a leader, and since I first heard that dude's name, probably when I got to the basic school in 1989, the only thing I ever heard about Mike Etor was what a great guy he was. And then I crossed paths with him professionally, and he's every bit the leader that he was professed to be, and then I've known him to be. So it's awesome. But he's always got a great sense of humor, always self-deprecating. But trust-based leadership is all the things that, you know, in our careers as Marines, we talked about. But think about it. There's no leadership book about by the Marine Corps. We have, you know, we have all kinds of different instructions. We have all kinds. And then we have the folklore that is part of our leadership, right? Things like expect what you inspect. Well, that's not written down anywhere. So Mike, I mean, this book took him, I think, 4 years to write. And so he's just a very cool guest to have on. And so you'll hear from him today. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the interview that was playing live yesterday, because you don't listen live, then I did an interview that'll go up on the website later on today with a corporal by the name of Andrew. And we don't use his last name. And Andrew watched his mom die when he was 11 years old. He then gets hit in the head with a discus at a track meet when he's in high school. He overcomes that, comes to the Marine Corps, and when he's at the basic reconnaissance course, he gets kicked in the head swimming, which reactivates his brain injury. And so he chooses to stay in the Marine Corps. Obviously, he can't, you know, he's got to stay away from, you know, things that might tax his brain, but he's allowed to stay in the Marine Corps. And he talks about the impact sitting through post-traumatic wing had on him and how he's helping other people now. And I read his email the other day. I was sitting in Jiffy Lube on Saturday. And so I read it, and all of a sudden this little boom email pops into my world. And it's awesome. And so if you did not hear that, right, take it for tasking that you have to listen to that. Because it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. So anyway, I want to talk about, there's a ruling relative to the 5th Marines and 1-5 and the fact that Marines were detained and called out of a battalion formation. And I'll say this, between the President of the United States fucking with the UCMJ and the shit show that is the Staff Judge Advocate Corps, which is now under investigation by the United States Navy, and they're bullshit. I mean, what suffers? What suffers is good order and discipline, which is the purpose of the UCMJ. The UCMJ is not there to guarantee your rights. You give up some of your rights to become a member of the United States military. The purpose of the UCMJ is to keep good order and discipline. So you don't have all your rights. And I mean, I'll tell you what, the lawyers that get involved in this shit, in my opinion, are fucking up the United States military. These guys who are involved in this human trafficking shit, get them out of the Marine Corps. Don't even give a fuck what you do with them. Hand them over to the federal authorities. You could do whatever you want. Right? You breach the confidence of your peers, you're out. Okay? Those are mistakes that you don't get to make. Some mistakes we live with, some mistakes we don't. But I'll get to the story. Right? A judge says because they were detained out of a battalion formation, there is the assumption of guilt, and therefore their rights are violated, and what are we going to do, throw the fucking thing out? You know, what a bunch of bullshit. What a bunch of fucking bullshit. The purpose of the UCMJ is to enforce good order and discipline in the United States military. It ain't about you, every fucking right you got guaranteed under the Constitution. You forfeited some of those when you signed. And now you got these shithead lawyers, right, that go to shithead judges, right, to give shithead rulings. And that's what this is. So, to the battalion commander who did that, fucking right on, man. And if all those guys walk from their federal charges, who gives a fuck? Get them out of the Marine Corps. Bullshit. So anyway, I saw that article last night driving home, and it pissed me off. Because lawyers, you know, lawyers in the Marine Corps, right, are taking the Marine Corps places the Marine Corps has never been. I have a friend who had something happen to him at a dining in. Okay? Senior officer. And essentially, a lieutenant did something really stupid in public. That senior officer, was never allowed to confront that lieutenant, and that lieutenant was never made to apologize to him in person. And here's why. Oh, yeah, you can't do that. That can't happen because you're the victim. I'm not a fucking victim. I'm an officer in the Marine Corps. Oh, no. That can't happen. Are you kidding me? Throughout our history, when people do stupid shit, guess where they stand the morning after they do stupid shit with their commanding officers, with their sergeant majors? They stand in front of somebody who they showed their ass to. But now the lawyers have a better way. And I'm telling you, they're fucking up the United States military. This is not the civilian world. This is not the civilian world. And so we'll talk about that. I'll share that article with you. Anyway, so on Tuesday, United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to all the Marines who came up yesterday and wanted to talk about different things that impacted them from MAG 13. Go change somebody's life. All right? The things that you felt when you hear the truth that comes out of our culture, and I'm just a messenger, right? All that stuff is the wisdom of guys like Jack Riley and Ken Rogers and Jeremiah Workman and my sister and all people that are part of our culture, and I'm just the messenger with it, and I love that it resonates so deeply, and so take that truth and go change people's lives, change your own life, right? Understand you have to learn to coexist with that which traumatizes you. Understand that you have to live with a measure of self-discipline relative to physical fitness, relative to alcohol, relative to money, relative to wellness, and then give, right? If you'll do that, not only will you live a good life, you'll live a great life. And so for everybody who came up to talk afterwards, thank you for making my time over there awesome. And God bless you and go change people's lives. And it is in the giving of our traumatic wisdom that comes from our incredible culture, that comes from your incredible DNA, that the solution lies to this. That's the solution. And that's the drug that you need. So This is dedicated to all those Marines from MAG 13 and Captain Kelsey Casey Pug, who did a great job. She's running around doing all kinds of stuff. But thank you very much for the opportunity, and go change somebody's life.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check out weather in Marineland. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 47. Clouds at 49 at Camp Lejeune. Partly sunny at 61 and at 29 Palms. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton is cloudy and 62. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy 72, they've warmed up. Okinawa dark cloudy and 67. In Afghanistan, it is dark cloudy and 55, so cold in Afghanistan. And in Iraq, cold there too. Clear, dark, and 58 in Ramadi. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is 62 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for rain today. And a high of 76. Overnight low of 60 with rain. Rain tomorrow and a high of 62. Rain on Thursday and a high of 64. Like, what happened? I leave and this? Are you kidding me? Like, anyway, let's look at your weather here on a Tuesday morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check some news headlines. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in me. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
To the news, Stars and Stripes, USS Fitzgerald collision survivors, families of those seek $287 million in separate lawsuits. How about that? Now, the Fitzgerald had 7 sailors die on it. So $287 million divided by 7 equals, that's $7.1 million per person. there was no culpability in that, by the way. Right? No court-martial ever held to the commanding officer, the officer of the deck. Right? It wasn't her fault. Everybody got a fucking excuse. What a joke, man. What a clown show and what a joke. Right? Survivors of the USS Fitzgerald. That's what pisses me off when I read this stuff. You know, all this bullshit that it wasn't our fault. It was the system. It was this. It was that. You know, whatever happened, and Mike Etor's book booming in my ears. Everything your unit does or fails to do is your responsibility. You are completely and utterly responsible when you step on that platform. When you step on as the officer of the deck, right, of that ship, you are solely, personally responsible for it. Shit, the articles that got written about that, she's a victim. She was a fucking victim. So, I mean, these articles I find really irritate me. Survivors filed a lawsuit against Tokyo-based NYK Line by survivors of the USS Fitzgerald collision, and relative of those killed lays out how sailors saw water rushing at them as they scrambled for the exits and in some cases had to swim for their lives. Oh, it's not just those that were killed. It's by people that survived that were traumatized. And then there's a couple of related articles. How the Navy's top commander botched the highest profile investigation in years. And then a Japanese safety board. I never saw this article. A Japanese safety board. This is dated when? August 30th. More than 2 years after seven sailors aboard the USS Fitzgerald in a collision with a Philippine-flagged container ship south of Japan, the Japan Transport Safety Board released its report on the causes. Right? The findings echo a U.S. Navy report from late 2017 saying the accident was preventable and that the destroyer's watch standards contributed to the incident. It is somewhat likely that USS Fitzgerald was not properly on the lookout for ACX Crystal, the Japanese report stated. Watch Standard pays more attention to another container ship sailing parallel to the north of the ACX Crystal, distracting them from focusing on the Philippine ship, the report said. ACX Crystal signaled the Fitzgerald with a daylight signaling lamp prior to the collision, the Japanese report said. The Navy report said that the Fitzgerald officer of the deck failed to sound the danger signal and failed to attempt to contact the Crystal on a bridge-to-bridge radio. The ACX Crystal's crew expected the USS Fitzgerald would recognize them and avoid them. So it did not change course or speed because they were in the shipping lane. The Fitzgerald is crossing the shipping lane. The report was ordered after the collision in accordance with the Japanese law, blah, 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 blah. It is not the purpose of the investigation to apportion blame or liability, it wrote in the report. The report lists four suggested safety actions crews should take to prevent occurrence of the same type of incident. Those include properly adjusting all radars to sufficiently judge surrounding situations. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? It's just, again, that's so remedial, it's ridiculous. Right? It's ridiculous. Article in Stars and Stripes with the following headline. Islamic State's backbone was broken in Afghanistan as hundreds surrender. Why am I struggling with that headline? Hundreds of Islamic State fighters have surrendered after separate operations by government forces and the Taliban hemmed them into the mountainside in the country's south, Afghan officials said on Tuesday. During the past 2 weeks, 243 ISIS fighters and nearly 400 family members have surrendered. Nangarhar Provincial Governor Shah Mahmood Maqil said on Tuesday. In total, 2,000 fighters and their families are expected to surrender. Afghan officials said their forces, aided by U.S. personnel, starved the ISIS fighters by cutting their supply lines in Nangarhar. The result is Daesh's backbone was broken, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani said in a speech on Tuesday using an Arabic acronym for ISIS that the group dislikes. We shall see. That's good news. I'm somewhat taken aback, right? With support of the Taliban? What? Film at 11, okay? Film at 11. Another little interesting, article in Stars and Stripes with this headline, NATO's alleged brain death is on the agenda as allies prepare for talks. America's top representative to NATO on Tuesday blasted comments by French President Emmanuel Macron that the 70-year-old alliance is experiencing brain death, saying an attempt to divide members is not even rational. We firmly disagree with President Macron's assessment, U.S. NATO Ambassador Kay Bailey Hutchinson said on the eve of talks between alliance foreign ministers in Brussels. Macron suggested in an interview earlier this month that the European Union should do more on its own militarily. What a fucking joke. Yeah, go ahead. I dare you to there, Emmanuel. You clown. Germany doesn't participate. So who's it going to be that defends the EU? The EU? Right? Unbelievable. Space is essential to the alliance. This is, allies are expected to adopt new measures aimed at countering Russia and China. They will likely agree to make outer space a new military domain for the alliance alongside air, land, sea, and cyber, NATO Secretary Jan Stoltenberg said on Tuesday. Space is essential to the alliance's defense and deterrence for early warning, communications, and navigation. The alliance will not weaponize space, he said. We will not deploy weapons in space, but instead will protect hundreds of satellites orbiting the Earth that belong to NATO members. How are you going to protect them if you don't weaponize them? Are you going to put satellites that talk missiles and lasers down? Good luck on that there, Jan. Anyway, so interesting stories in Stars and Stripes. Yeah, you know what? The whole collision thing, I just read it and I just like, you talk about a sick organization, and that is the United States Navy. Not responsible, you know, everybody's got a fucking excuse. And like I said, I just don't get it. They got such a fucked up culture, it's a joke. You have to be stupid. Your first night out in port, right? Crossing a busy shipping lane, going 22 knots. And let's just say your radars are degraded. How about this? Slow the fucking ship down. Oh, yeah. How about, here's another one. How about maybe the CO or the XO is on the bridge while we cross the shipping lane? How about that? No. It is such amateur shit. And then those things that are so basic, right? That was nobody's fault. That was nobody's fault. The fact that the officer, the tactical action officer, right, who's running the CIC doesn't speak to the officer of the deck, that's nobody's fault either. I mean, you read it and it's just jaw-dropping stupidity. And then everybody's a victim. Oh, we were working 100-hour work weeks. Well, you were in port, so I doubt that. Okay. At sea, what else are you going to do but work? So you work 14 hours a day, right, to include eating, to include working out, and then you go to bed. That's what you do. It's so hard. It's so fucking hard. And it's just bullshit. Anyway. Yeah, the whole McCain thing and the Fitzgerald thing, that stuff pisses me off. The USS Wasp, LHD-1 arrived in Norfolk yesterday, completing a home port ship. Had been home ported in Sasebo, Japan for 2 years. So, welcome home to the WASP. NATO headlines. I thought, I saw a picture of this guy at the Naval War College. And I, like, is it somebody in costume? Like, who the hell is this? An actor portraying it is Admiral, Rear Admiral Stephen B. Luce, founder and first president of the U.S. Naval War College, addressed students, staff, and faculty and guests during a convocation ceremony kicking off the 2017-2018 academic year of the War College, right? So the picture's used in the article, and the headline is, Navy and Marine Corps want to update services, professional military education. Now, the Commandant has talked about that, right? In May of 2019, General Joe Dunford, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, set six special areas of emphasis to be covered by Joint PME during 2020-2021 academic year. And here they are. One, the return of great power competition. Two, globally integrated operations in the information environment. Three, strategic deterrence in the 21st century. Four, modern electromagnetic spectrum battlefield. Five, space as a warfighting domain. And six, the ability to write clear and concise military advice recommendations. How about that? So, I know General Berger talked about the way we deliver professional military education, right? How it doesn't work, and how universities are delivering, you know, distance learning, all in an effort to raise the number of people that get to go through professional military education, which in theory at least means you have a more educated Corps, officer and enlisted. So, anyway, interesting stuff. The, all right. Give me a second. Interesting. Top headline in Early Bird, I'm sorry, in Marine Corps Times is, the Marine Corps wants to study how to make recruit training co-ed. Some 4 days ago. As the only service that remains separated by gender and basic training, the Marine Corps is now looking for a university study on what it would take and what would change if the Marine Corps moved to co-ed recruit training. The wanted study, according to a federal business contracting website, will include extent and effectiveness of gender-combined recruit training and possible options to increase gender integration training during boot camp. We call it recruit training. This posting, first reported by military.com, follows a summer push by Congress to integrate genders in training. The study does not demand full side-by-side gender integration at recruit training. It calls only for integration after the first phase of recruit training and for the remainder of the 13 weeks. Integration will only be at the series level, not the platoon. So series equals company. We're already doing this shit. This is, did somebody mention this? We've done this at OCS since I went through. Okay, so all that said, right, and then integration will only be at the company level, not in the platoons. So what does that mean? That means that you're going to have a female platoon inside of an all-male company. We're already doing it. I don't know. Like, yeah, let's study. Let's study that shit. This is an interesting little thing. An open letter to the leaders of Marine Aviation by Colonel Tom Hughes, retired, H-E-W-E-S. I don't know Tom. Let me see how long this is. Not very long, so let me embark on this. All right. So this is a letter from him, that Marine Corps Times published. The story of a mid-air collision between an F/A-18 Delta and a KC-130J on December 6, 2018, as reported by the Marine Corps Times in September, is now out for the entire world to see. It is sadly a damning indictment of the leadership at every level of Marine aviation. I cannot claim to speak for all who were leaders in prior years, but I firmly believe this tragedy indicates that the current generation of aviation leaders have failed their Marines. And that, gentlemen, is neither the example nor the lesson those of us who were leaders in the prior years passed on. Before patting yourselves on the back for doing the right thing by relieving the commander, the commanding officer, the XO, and the operations officer, the aviation safety officer of all weather fighter attack squadron 242, you may want to consider whether that action really solved the problem. You know the answer to that one, a resounding no. For starters, it seems apparent that VMA FA-242 was deployed to the 1st Marine Air Wing neither fully trained nor ready to perform its primary mission. Certainly the problems identified in the Times report were long-standing and did not suddenly arise in Iwakuni, Japan. This indicates that the leaders of the squadron's home group and wing were not properly exercising their responsibility for preparing the squadron for deployment. Considered in this light, relieving those responsible at the squadron level was necessary but insufficient. That is clear. What is clearly called for now is a thorough investigation of the relevant commanders and staff officers of the squadron's home training of the home group and wing, with those found culpable, whatever their grade, being summarily relieved and reassigned or retired. Equally troubling is the fact that concurrent leadership failures at squadron, group, and wing level, heretofore unprecedented, imply that Marine aviation has a systemic leadership problem. If not, why has the quality of leadership apparently declined to the point that permits something like this fiasco to occur in the first place? In VMFA 242's case, it is obvious that the signs of rot were there to be seen if only someone from the group or wing had gotten up from a desk, put on their flight suit, and flown with the squadron. That nobody did suggest that in this wing, the administrative was given more command emphasis than the operational. Yet as any of the Marine aviation legendary leaders will tell you, you cannot effectively command anything behind a desk. Though some house cleaning may have taken place since the tragedy, it is still critical for the leaders at all levels to do some serious soul searching. Have we gotten too complacent? Are we living aviation safety? Are we reporting readiness and other matters honestly? Are we writing honest fitness reports? Are we encouraging subordinates to freely express contrary views or identify embarrassing problems? Should we take another look at command selection and its long-term effects? And most importantly, are the most senior leaders of Marine aviation fighting to provide their subordinate commanders with the resources, including adequate flight hours, to properly train and deploy combat-ready squadrons? Until you as leader can answer those questions with an equally resounding yes, you haven't begun to lead your Marines ethically, respectfully. Colonel Tom Hughes, retired. Former CO MAG 26, 1979 to 1981. I'll tell you this, and this is just me being around the Marine Corps for a long time, there is an element of political correctness now, and there is an element of, I'm just trying not to screw it up, and people don't say shit when they have a mouthful. And I think that is a huge problem, and it starts at the general officer level, and it flows south. They won't say the truth. Everybody talks about speaking truth to power. Bullshit. Doesn't happen. Yeah. Doesn't happen. Nobody's going to buck the next, you know, the people at higher levels. It's going to jeopardize the franchise, right? Jeopardize the franchise. So to me, you take that little article, you could apply it to all kinds, right? All kinds of different military organizations, the divisions, right? The logistics groups. They're afraid. They're afraid to lead. And I don't know if the Marine Corps has created this environment that, you know, there's so many operations going on. There's so many things going on, and things are going so fast that nobody has time to lead and to be thorough. And in that case, something's got to give. Either more people got to come on active duty, squadrons got to be stood back up, battalions and regiments got to be stood back up, so that you can slow the operational pace down so that people can do what they're supposed to do, right? If the operational tempo is so bad. And that's going to cost money. That's going to cost money. Or, right, people have to take a look and say, yeah, what are you doing that you can't go do this shit? What is so important that you're doing that you can't go and spend time with these squadrons? Now, and let me tell you, that squadron that had the midair between the F-18 and the KC-130J, they had a similar one in 2016. They did not finish the administrative part of the investigation. So it was the same incident. Same incident. It clipped doing the same movement, right, which is this kind of double burn on both sides of the KC-130J, right? It's a bullshit thing. It's a complete vanity, stupid-ass thing to do. And they did not properly deal with it. And 2 years later, it happens again. And 6 Marines are dead. But I would tell you this, probably, the people that were, in my opinion, most culpable and sowed the seeds for this were not even involved in this second incident. But make no mistake about it, they sowed the seeds for it. That was the system they designed, and then other guys had come in, and they were operating it, blah, 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 blah. Here's the article. It's in San Diego Union. Headline, judge says mass arrest of Marines accused of human smuggling drug offenses was unlawful. Unlawful. The July arrest of 16 Camp Pendleton Marines in front of their 800-person battalion was unlawful and a violation of the rights of Marine Corps judge ruled on Friday. The ruling was handed down at the end of an all-day series of motions hearing that saw the battalion commander, a sergeant major, and some Camp Pendleton-based Navy or NCIS agents testify about the decision to conduct the mass arrest during a battalion formation on July 25th. On that day, 60 Marines were called in front of their unit, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, and were accused of human smuggling and arrested by a swarm of 40 to 50 law enforcement agents. Another 8 Marines suspected of unspecific drug offenses were also taken out of the formation. Some of those 8 were detained by battalion personnel and taken to the Camp Pendleton Brig, said Lieutenant Colonel Eric Olson, the battalion commanding officer, during testimony from the witness stand. The arrests were captured on video by the Marine Corps. According to court testimony, the July arrests were the culmination of 2 separate investigations, one into human smuggling by NCIS and one into an alleged drug ring by Marine Corps Criminal Investigative Division. 13 Marines were eventually charged in a smuggling case. The number charged in the drug case has not been disclosed. Attorneys for one of the defendants, Lance Corporal Jose Garcia, argued that the arrest amounted to unlawful command influence because of the effect of the arrest had on those 800 battalion members who witnessed it. Garcia is among those charged with unspecified drug offenses. The Marine Corps did not provide a charge sheet to reporters detailing those charges. Unlawful command influence, often called the mortal enemy of military justice. What a fucking joke, right? Occurs when a commander uses his position of authority to influence court proceedings. Commanders have authority over court-martial and therefore are expected to remain impartial during the process. However, testimony from witnesses as well as video recorded by the 1st Marine Division showed Olson and the battalion sergeant major, Sergeant Major Matthew Dorsey, ordered an NCIA agent to arrest these Marines. So arrest them. Does that imply guilt? No, you're arresting them. It also showed them making comments to the formation after the accused were hauled off. Olson testified that he made general comments that the misconduct of Marines hurts the battalion's lethality and that his primary focus was making sure his unit was ready to fight on a moment's notice. So there you have it. There you have it. Their rights were violated. They have the right to traffic in human beings. They have the right to sell drugs, right? And God forbid you should do, right, justice the way the Marine Corps has always done it, right? God forbid, because their little rights are getting violated. You know what? Fuck them. Get them out of the fucking Marine Corps, right? Get their stupid asses as far away from any Marine and just get them the fuck away. Go away. You're a fucking piece of shit. But this kind of stuff, I hate, right? And I'll tell you what, and it spills over into the Fitzgerald. The lawyers get involved, right? It's just it becomes a shit show. Now you look at what the president did with Gallagher, right? That guy is guilty as guilty can be. The true heroes are the young SEALs that saved people. By shooting warning shots when he took a rifle and went up, right, to go murder people, right? And then bucked the system by saying, this was wrong, you told us to report it. And then they got told to go the fuck away 3 times. Those are the heroes of those guys, and they lost. The bad guys won. And now the people that are going to win now are the human trafficker and the lawyers defending drug dealers in the Marine Corps. Fucking joke, man. Fucking joke. And let me tell you, if I was a battalion commander, I would have done exactly what Lieutenant Colonel Olson did. Right? Fuck those guys. Get them out of the fucking Marine Corps. Right? And I don't give a shit what they get convicted on. I don't care if they're exonerated. Get them the fuck out of there. And everybody else needs to see that shit. Everybody else needs to see that shit. Their rights do not trump good order and discipline in the Marine Corps. Right? But that's what you see all over the fucking place. Right? All over the fucking place. The commanding officer of the Fitzgerald was never held accountable because he got his rights violated by the CNO. Right? The officer of the deck was never going to be court-martialed. Never. Right? The tactical action officer who was sitting down there doing paperwork with degraded radars, not communicating with the bridge at the time of the collision, she's never going to get court-martialed because her rights got violated. Right? It is just, you watch it, and it's just bullshit. Absolute bullshit. So, hey, change the venue. Take it to Camp Lejeune. Take it to Okinawa. Right? They weren't a part of it. Fly the witnesses out, have the trial. Isn't that what they do in civilian courts? Oh. No, Mac, you're too stupid. You can't figure this shit out. Okay, I got it. But let me tell you, what Lieutenant Colonel Olson did is what you should do when you have shit like this going on. It's what we used to do. But now these asshole lawyers, right? Asshole lawyers. Imagine somebody, some lieutenant doing something to a senior officer, and that senior officer never has that lieutenant stand in front of him because the lawyers say you can't do that. It's like the world gone wrong. The world gone wrong. Where leaders don't lead anymore. Everybody's a fucking victim. And lawyers think they're commanders now. I shit you not. Oh no, sir, you can't do that. Oh, no, I'm the commanding officer. I can do whatever the fuck I want. You give advice. Don't confuse your position there, shithead. Yeah, lawyer. Give me a break. So, when I want advice, I'll look to you. When I need leadership advice, guess what? You and I are probably not going to be in the same room. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So it goes. Top five stories in Early Bird today are the same. Early Bird's having problems. Same as yesterday. Not really sure. Not really sure. How about some overseas headlines? Russia establishes helicopter base in Syrian city as the U.S. pulls out. Nice. Right? Helicopter base in the Syrian city of Qamishli. Nice base. If the U.S. was using it, the Russians are like, yes, nice. Thank you. Well done. Oh, we're pulling out of Syria. Wait, no, we're not. We're going to have tank companies go back in. What? I thought we were leaving. Are we confused? Well, we're not confused. The president gut just changes course every once in a while. Oh, okay. I got it. Esper says South Korea, which paid 90% of the costs for Camp Humphreys, needs to increase burden sharing to keep U.S. troops in South Korea. Whoa. Partnership with the Kurds against ISIS is strong, says U.S. coalition general. Really, that's not what the Kurds were saying last month, so that's interesting. China aircraft carrier fleet passes near rival Taiwan, right? American and Japanese ships followed them. I love it, man. China, don't question us. What we say will be. Yeah, it ain't that way. Sorry about that. Trump says, ask Tokyo to quadruple payments for foreign troops in Japan. U.S. South Korea resumed defense cost sharing talks amid protests of robbery. At issue, a $4 million gap between the United States and Seoul. Did I say million? I meant billion. So, yeah, interesting. Alliance is falling apart. No bueno. No bueno. At a time when we need it more than ever. But you know what? If you want American military, right, you got to help out, man. That's only right. All right, we're going to take a break. Mike Etor is going to join us on the backside of this break. We're going to talk about Mike's got a book that's, I will tell you, is going to go down in history in the Marine Corps. Yeah, no shit. It'll go down in history. And his book is entitled Marine Corps Leadership Concepts for Today's Business. Okay? And actually the title is Trust-Based Leadership. The subtitle is Marine Corps Leadership Concept for Today's Business Leaders. And it's about a 600-page book, right? It's about a 600-page book. And it goes through everything, the troop leading steps, why you eat last, right? Why leaders eat last and all these things. And Mike translates it for business leaders, how to create a culture that wins. It's really interesting. Mike and I were, you'll hear in the interview, but Mike's doing this in business, right? And I apply those things to post-traumatic winning. And so we travel parallel courses in different universes. So it's a pretty interesting discussion. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up. And again, the interview is about an hour and a half long. Now, remember, take this for tasking. If you have not listened to the interview I did with Andrew, do that today, all right? Put that on your list of things to do. I'll get it on the website here in a little bit. But write that down. It's an awesome interview. And so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.